Hello, lovers. Welcome to another episode of Daily Dose of Escapades. Make sure you stream, download, and most importantly, share the story to friends and family. This would push us to give you more and better stories. 1K downloads and streams to unlock the next episode. Thanks.
This was the best night of my life. Look at this, an awesome stage, fancy guests, and so many people here. Oh my gosh, I couldn't even count them all. But wait a minute, did you think I was at a concert? Wrong. This was my 15th birthday party. Maeve Davis, the fabulous girl. My dad was the biggest billionaire in town, and I was the sole heir of the family. Everyone called me the golden girl. But oh boy, being rich was tough. Every day I had to stress about which supercar to take to school, which five-star restaurant to eat at, and at home, a dozen servants hovered around, killing any privacy I might have had.
What are you zoning out for, Maeve? I got the exact juice you like. I had to go through 10 shops to find it.
That's why you're my assistant. I mean, best buddy. Oh, isn't that, what's his name again? Never mind, that's your crush, right, Kelly? It's my birthday, but I'll make your wish come true. Saying that, I grabbed Kelly's hand and went straight to the guy. Hey, you. My friend Kelly here really likes you. What do you think?
Are you crazy? What are you saying? I...
But I don't like her. Who likes a servant anyway? The one I like is you, princess.
Was this guy nuts? Needless to say, Kelly stormed off immediately, and I ran after her to console her. But she shook me off hard.
Enough! Why are you following me? You did that on purpose, didn't you? Making a fool of me.
What are you saying? I got all good intention.
I've put up with you for so long, but this was too much. You knew how much I liked him, and you still humiliated me.
No, I didn't.
Oh, really? Do you know why you only have me as your best friend? Because no one else can stand a brat like you. I've been hanging around and doing your errands just for your money.
Then Kelly took all the makeup and designer bag I gave her and threw them right at my face.
And now it's over. Enjoy being alone for the rest of your life. Goodbye.
Who did she think she was? As if I cared. But I couldn't deny that my heart skipped a beat. I went home right after, only to be greeted by a furious dad.
When will you stop fooling around and hanging out with those who use you? You transferred a lot of money to your friends. For what? Do you only know how to use money to keep friends, Maeve?
Can you stop it already? Why do you sound just like Kelly? I don't lack friends that I need to do that.
Fine, let me be clear. Now that you're grown up, I can't always take care of you. I'll freeze all your cards. You will transfer to a public school and become independent.
What are you talking about?
Listen, if you can find a true friend there and finish your studies well, I'll unlock your cards and even give you a gift. Let's see, how about a luxury yacht?
So, what if I don't?
Then your cards stay frozen and you'll be grounded. That's all.
A luxury yacht? Sounded tempting, but could I do it? I'd only ever had Kelly as a friend. Why did Dad have to make it so hard for me? I decided to go for a walk to clear my head. However, while walking, I was startled by the sound of a revving engine.
Hey, girl, where are you going so late? Hop on, I'll give you a ride.
Hey! Do you know who I am? I am...
You're my girl, of course. Come on, hop on.
At that moment, a simply dressed guy walked up and shouted.
Get lost, or I'll call the police. Hello? 911?
Those guys mumbled something and then sped off. Phew, lucky this guy showed up. He introduced himself as Caleb.
Tell me more about yourself. I want to hear.
I thought this was a good chance to see if I was really as bad as Kelly said so.
I live nearby. My family are farmers. Very, very poor.
Caleb suddenly looked at me with sad eyes. He said he also came from a poor background and had to work hard from a young age.
I really envy those born with everything, but what can we do? We just have to try harder.
We talked late into the night. Under the shimmering moonlight, he looked like a god. Then Caleb leaned closer to me, and we were about to kiss when my dad discovered I'd snuck out and dragged me home immediately. I barely managed to say goodbye to Caleb before rushing back home. Caleb, he sure has feelings for me, right? If so, Dad's deal might not be impossible. I was going to prove Dad and that annoying Kelly wrong. But it seemed like I was the wrong one. As soon as I saw my new place, I just wanted to leave. The room was tiny and it smelled musty. And what was that huge lump on the bed?
Hi, I'm Pamela.
Hi, I'm Maeve. I like your glasses. Vintage. Haven't seen anyone wear such thick bottle-bottom glasses in ages. I had a bad feeling about this girl.
And I was right. Pamela was like an old cranky lady, always nitpicking at the smallest things I did.
Can you clean up this mess, please? Turn down the music. This isn't a club.
Please stop spraying that strong perfume. It gives me a headache. What the fudge? Do you know how much this costs? Can't afford it, so you're jealous, huh?
Do you have money? If you did, you wouldn't be here, right? Fix that attitude or no one will live with you.
What a pain in the butt. I wanted to go home immediately, but the thought of the yacht made me hold back. I could only vent my frustration through rants on Threads. Pamela, this girl is such a... Hashtag country bumpkin. Hashtag bottom of the barrel. All right, done. After that day, I treated Pamela as if she was invisible, but also tried to follow her rules. Sure enough, she had nothing more to say, though she still glared at me every chance she got. But the important thing now was, I was out of money. I had spent the little allowance Dad gave me on that fancy perfume. Now I really had to earn some money? I walked down the street and saw a restaurant hiring staff. I walked in and, oh my gosh, it was Caleb. Caleb.
Maeve.
What are you doing here?
I work here.
I came to apply for a job to make some extra income.
I'm about to start my shift, so I need to get changed.
The manager was currently on a business trip, but Caleb said he had recommended me to the manager so I'd get the job and start next week. Caleb helped me once again. Aww. It was a great day until I had to go back to the dorm and see Pamela's face. Whatever, I was going to sleep well tonight and dream about Caleb. But that night, I suddenly felt chills, broke into a sweat. My forehead was burning and I had trouble breathing. Then Pamela came over and gently placed a cool cloth on my forehead.
Here, take this medicine. You have a high fever.
Thank you. I thought you hated me. Pamela said nothing, just left and came back with a bowl of hot soup. At that moment, I realized Pamela wasn't as bad as I thought. She was actually quite caring. The next morning, I woke up and freaked out when I saw the sink clogged. I had no idea what to do. But then, Pamela came in with a plunger like a hero.
Here, do it like this. You'll be able to do it yourself next time. There, that's right. Good job.
Yeah! From then on, we became closer, and Pamela showed me experiences I'd never had before. Going to thrift shops, eating street food, and even together killing cockroaches, my ultimate enemy.
Go!
I also told Pamela about Caleb and the upcoming job, and she gave me lots of helpful advice to do well at work. But could I really apply them? In the first few days, I broke 10 plates. Fortunately, the manager was away on a business trip, or else I'd be working for free this month. And Caleb was always there to clean up my mess.
Let me handle it. You might cut yourself.
Aw, he made my heart skip a beat. One time, I was rushing to deliver food to a customer and slipped. Right then, Caleb caught me. Those eyes, those lips, that unreal beauty.
Hey, where's my food? I'm not here to watch a rom-com.
We kept texting each other every day, and Caleb always cared for me, giving me little cute gifts along with neatly written notes. To reciprocate, I baked a cake and coaxed his colleague to give me his home address so I could deliver it. When I arrived, I was shocked to see it was a luxury mansion. However, Caleb came out and shyly pointed to a small room in the corner, the guard's room.
Dad. Hello, Dad.
Hi, son.
Sorry, my house is this cramped, so I didn't dare invite you over. Thanks for the cake.
My heart ached seeing the scene. It made me even more reluctant to reveal my true identity to him. Back at the dorm, I reflected on the recent times. This new life, though it seemed hard at first, now made me really happy. Pamela and Caleb, two people who didn't know my true status but treated me so warmly.
Hey, what are you daydreaming about? Hello? You still have an essay to finish, you know.
Oh, right. I almost forgot my main task. If I didn't study properly, Dad would kill me and I'd lose the yacht too. Fortunately, Pamela was always there. She even discovered my long-hidden intelligence. We usually went to a cafe to study together. Everything was fine until that day.
Oh, who do we have here? Why are you dressed like this now, little Miss Brat?
Kelly, why are you here?
Does it matter? Oh, this girl looks familiar, doesn't she? Isn't she the one you always badmouthed on Threads? Why are you sitting together now?
I was doomed. I hadn't deleted those stupid statuses yet. I hurriedly pulled Pamela away, but Kelly blocked us. She immediately opened my Threads and showed them to Pamela. Her face darkened with each scroll. Then she just gave me a bitter look and walked away.
You jerk, how dare you? Ask that yourself.
I chased after Pamela, but she suddenly screamed at me.
Oh, so you're a rich brat? And the hobby of rich people like you is to make fun of people like us, right?
Pam, I didn't...
Enough. I don't know why you approached and pretended to be friends with me, but from now on, let's consider each other strangers. I don't want to deal with a fake like you. That very night, Pamela packed her things and left. I sat alone in the empty room, my heart aching, a feeling I'd never experienced before. How badly had I treated everyone? I was truly a terrible person. That night, I couldn't sleep at all. Caleb called and texted, but I didn't want to reply. Maybe Dad and Kelly were right. Someone like me didn't deserve a true friend. I took a week off work and buried myself in the essay to forget my current sorrow. A few days after submitting it, the teacher called me in for a chat.
I've reviewed all the essays and found yours and Pamela's to be the best. But Maeve, your father donated a lot to our school last term, so I'll help you polish your essay a bit to make it perfect, and the award will go to you.
If I agreed, I'd get out of this place and I'd get the yacht too. As for the friendship issue, I could just lie to Dad. Pamela wasn't my friend anymore, so I didn't need to be nice to her, right? But no, I couldn't understand why I didn't feel happy. The next morning, I went to the ceremony looking more exhausted than a zombie after a sleepless night. Pamela and I made eye contact, but she just coldly turned away.
And the award for the best essay goes to Maeve.
I immediately ran to the stage and grabbed the microphone. Hi, everyone. You might not know, but I'm Maeve, a brat who always thought she was better than everyone else. But I've changed thanks to my dear friend Pamela. And this essay was partly thanks to her help. It was altered at the last minute, and it isn't my work. So I think no one deserves this award more than Pamela. I looked down at the audience and saw Dad looking at me in confusion. I left immediately, knowing I'd failed my dad's deal. My cards would stay frozen, and I'd be grounded starting tomorrow. But I didn't feel sad or regretful about what I did. I sat down on the steps outside the hall and cried hard. Just then, a hand reached out, offering me a tissue. You surprised me, kid. Then we hugged each other and cried loudly. I missed you. I missed you too. Pam, I'm going to tell Caleb the truth. I don't want to hide anything from anyone anymore. I ran to the restaurant, my heart racing, thinking about Caleb's reaction. Would he still want to be with me if he knew I had kept everything from him? Just then, I saw him, giving instructions to the staff. What was this? He was the restaurant manager? What's going on? Did you trick me?
I'm sorry. I was afraid you'd feel insecure if I told you the truth about me. But my feelings for you are real. I always wanted to be close to you and take care of you naturally, so I did this.
So the guard's room was...
That is my mansion's guard's room. I'm sorry again. I didn't mean to deceive you. It's just that I like you so much.
Well, let me show you what tit for tat means. Then I showed Caleb the newspaper with the picture of me and my billionaire dad.
You're quite something, aren't you?
That's why we're a perfect match, right? Then Caleb pulled me close and gave me the sweetest kiss I ever had.
You have given extensive thought behind your decision and give the better version exclusive permission to remove the old me completely from your present and future. I was torn between clicking yes and no. The old me had left me with too many disadvantages and wounds. I took a deep breath and checked the box. Aria?
Yes, that's me!
Are you certain about your decision? Hey y'all, I'm Aria from Texas. Before I dive into my life story, don't forget to smash that like button and subscribe to MDA. Mom had twin girls, me and my sis Charlie. Charlie was as pretty as a porcelain doll, and I knew I was too. Mom always whispered in my ear, "My girl, you're the most unique kid ever!"
Absolutely!
Vitiligo made my skin a patchwork, but it never got me down. Charlie and our parents showered me with endless love.
You're always so beautiful, Sister Aria.
I loved her more than anything in the world. The only bummer was having to cover up whenever I went outside. Mom said my skin shouldn't be exposed to the sun. So I was homeschooled while Charlie got to go to school. I was so jealous of having friends that once Charlie helped me sneak out.
I'll count to three, and then we bolt for the school bus, okay? One, two, three!
But Mom caught me in no time, and Charlie got grounded for a whole week for helping me break the rules. Aria can't go outside because of her health. At that moment, I thought my parents were really worried about me. But by the time I was 16, I realized they were just trying to hide me from the world. I had a crush on Cormac, the new guy next door, a few years older than me. I was so shy, I'd only peek at him through the curtains. Until one day, I found out Cormac was going to school with Charlie, and I took a risk to follow him. I frantically pedaled my bike to catch up with the school bus, my headscarf blown away by the wind, but I had no time to get it back. There he is! I blended in with the students walking inside, trying my best to keep my head down so no one recognized me as an outsider.
When I saw Cormac turn down a hallway, I hurried after him and then crashed into someone.
Oh my god, are you blind?
I swallowed hard as the girl turned around.
Hold up, I've never seen your face before.
You knew or something? Whispers started and people pointed at me.
Shh, be quiet. Here, come here.
She helped me up and I could only mutter a tiny thank you.
Looking at you makes me appreciate my own skin. You must be so insecure, huh? What's your nickname? Cow or zebra?
They surrounded me, making it hard to breathe. It was the first time I faced such cruelty.
Moo! Moo!
The crowd burst into cruel laughter.
Charlie, save me! These people are terrifying! Here, paint over your patchy skin! Or should I help? Poor fish!
As she came closer, I panicked and ran away from the crowd, leaving behind their mocking laughter. I cried, heading straight for the school gates. Passing the backyard, I saw Cormac sitting with... Charlie! They were chatting happily. Anger and jealousy erupted in me like a volcano. While I was humiliated inside, they could just happily chat away here? I came home, hit with the harsh truth about everything. My parents didn't want the world to know I existed, probably because they were ashamed of me. Of their daughter with the patchy skin.
Cow spots or zebra stripes, huh?
Ugh, those mean girls. All of them so hateful. Charlie must have been thrilled not to be as unpretty as me, and she even snagged my crush. Just great. In the following days, I got so sick of hearing my parents say I was special. Special? Like that's just a nice way of saying freak, right? Charlie kept saying how beautiful I was, but pfft, all fake. And I had my own plan brewing. I waited until I felt ready. Sitting outside the cosmetic surgery room, I signed the form and walked in. Right then and there, I welcomed a new me, flawless skin and all. It was better than anything I could have imagined. Goodbye, special, cow spots, and zebra stripes. Now I look just like any celeb. I wondered how my folks would react to this new me. They'd probably be shocked and then hug me, ecstatic.
I'm back, y'all!
Sorry, but who are you?
Holy moly, Aria! Is that you? What did you do to your skin?
Did you dye your skin?
No, Biggie. You were proud of Charlie being pretty. I just wanted you to be proud of me, too. Plus, I'm starting school tomorrow. I went back to my room, still obsessing over my reflection. Weren't my parents happy to see me beautified? Or did they only favor Charlie? And she must be jealous of my beauty, right? Tomorrow, everything changes. My life's about to flip to a whole new chapter. The next day at school, I was the center of attention, admiration pouring in. Even the mean girls were all over me, asking me about my life.
Wow, you look amazing. Let me show you around the new school, yeah?
Clearly, they didn't recognize me as the girl they bullied months ago. And the guys? I had to remind them to close their mouths to keep from drooling. Then I saw Charlie with Cormac. Guess what? I totally snubbed them. With my looks now, I could easily attract guys way hotter than Cormac. But yeah, I still had feelings for him.
Nah, he and Charlie are an item now.
Getting closer to the mean girls, I became obsessed with beauty. They constantly gossiped about gorgeous celebs like Kylie Jenner, Ariana Grande, and whatnot. Cheeky one day, sharp chin the next, and I totally dove into that beauty trend. I hit the clinic at least once a week for Botox and fillers just so I could look prettier than any other girl. And I was always satisfied with the results. One day, after hours at the mall with my new besties, we saw Charlie and Cormac by the lake in the park.
Ew, look at that couple. She looks pretty but so fake. Did you know? She wept to Cormac about her sister being sick or something to get his pity. So tacky.
Her words made my blood boil. I couldn't believe Charlie badmouthed me to him. Time to teach her a lesson. I went all out, stirring up a hornet's nest. As it fell and I ran, one stung me on the butt. Charlie and Cormac, they got chased and each got stung on the cheek.
Revenge tasted so sweet. But wait, there's more.
Over the next month, we pulled all sorts of pranks on them. Jellyfish in Charlie's bag, glue on Cormac's seat. I felt a bit bad doing it to my sis, but they had it coming, right? Then, one afternoon, sitting in the courtyard, Cormac came over to me for the first time. My heart was racing at the sight of him, but boy, was Cormac fuming.
You've gone too far, Aria.
Can't believe the first thing my crush says to me is a scolding.
I know all the chaos is you're doing. When did you become so selfish? You weren't like this before.
Oh, the old me? That girl's long gone, along with her patchy skin. None of you will ever understand what I went through. I stormed off furious. He had no right to talk to me like that, and they would never be good enough to hang with me again. After that, I started dating Walter, a hotshot singer. We met at a party. Too fast? I know, but Walter said he fell for me at first sight. Who could resist this beauty? We were inseparable. He took me everywhere I wanted. Yacht parties, concerts, fancy restaurants. I met celebrities I'd only ever seen on TV before. A-list stars, actors, even beauty queens. But gradually, I got tired of the fake smiles that were always plastered on my face. Yes, I looked like a beautiful doll, but a Barbie doll in its box. I felt suffocated by my current relationships, suddenly wanting to go back to how things used to be. Look at that girl. She looks hideous with all those freckles. Totally. I'd faint if I had those on my skin. Don't you think, Arya? I was stunned. They were being toxic about a girl just because she was born that way. Ugh, looks just like a dairy cow. Those words hit me like a ton of bricks, bringing back old memories in a flash. Oh my god, are you blind?
Watch where you're going, you idiot!
In the crowd, my boyfriend Walter was grabbing a waiter by the collar. Apparently he had spilled a drink on a girl.
She bumped into me.
It was Cormac. Why was he here? Cormac saw me, his eyes filled with a strange sadness. Walter, furious, was about to punch Cormac, but I slapped him before he could. I grabbed Cormac's hand, and to everyone's surprise, we left together. Did you follow me here?
I never stopped watching out for you, Arya.
My heart skipped a beat. Did Cormac just say he cares about me?
I liked you from the moment I saw you that day, but then you changed.
Aren't you and Charlie a thing?
What? She approached me, but it was all for you. Somehow, she said you liked me and wanted me to be close to you because she knew you were lonely, staying at home all day.
So I misunderstood my sister? My stupid jealousy had driven us apart more than anything. I missed the us from before. I missed the me from before. I needed to find Charlie right away. I ran home only to find her room empty. My parents were panicking, unable to find her. Suddenly, my phone buzzed. A message from Charlie?
I'll try to make things like before. You've always been the beautiful sister to me.
I knew where she was. Was Charlie going to get cosmetic surgery to change her skin to be like mine used to be? That silly girl. With all my might, I rushed to the clinic. The sign above the clinic was lit. Had she already gone into surgery? I raced over, pounding on the door with all my might.
Stop it, Charlie! Please don't do this! Charlie!
Arya?
I'm so sorry! It's all my fault! I was wrong!
Huh? But what about... Suddenly I noticed the fateful paper in her hand. Thank God she hadn't signed it yet.
But I wanted to prove to you.
You being you is the best thing you can be. I wrapped my arms around Charlie. At that moment, we were just like kids again. No jealousy or hatred between us.
I'm sorry, Charlie.
It's good to have you back. We held hands as we walked home, but seeing Cormac waiting at the doorstep, Charlie left us alone.
You don't hate me for changing?
Let's take a quick break.
If you're looking for a political podcast that goes beyond the headlines, check out The Beltway Briefing. I'm Howard Schweitzer, CEO of Cozen O'Connor Public Strategies. Every week on The Beltway Briefing, our team of former Republican and Democratic presidential appointees, Capitol Hill veterans, and political advocates shares behind-the-scenes perspective that cuts through the noise. If you want the inside scoop, subscribe now to The Beltway Briefing here or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm happy if you're happy with your choices. That's all that matters. But I want you to know, I fell for you the moment I saw you.
You're not mad at me for the glue on the chair?
Of course I am. But I'll get my revenge later.
We laughed together. After everything we've been through, I finally felt light and found my happiness.
Oh, thank you so much! Our family will forever be in your debt!
I grinned at the woman. This was the first time I'd felt this kind of happiness.
OMG! Run! The royal soldiers are coming!
Huh? Axel grabbed my hand and we bolted. The pounding of horse hooves got closer. Panic spread through the marketplace.
Round them all up. Search the whole ship. These pirates stole treasures from the royal ship.
I command you to stop.
Little miss, who gave you the right to talk here?
We were dragged away, one by one, as the villagers pleaded for us. I snapped awake as the maid pulled back the curtains.
Princess, your etiquette class starts in 20 minutes.
Ugh, I wanted to wake up to birds chirping and waves crashing, not some maid nagging about school time.
Is the princess up yet?
Okay, I'm up. Jeez. Groggily, I got out of bed, slipped into my slippers, and headed for the bathroom. Hey there, I'm Elizabeth, a princess from a small European country. Everyone thinks being a princess is all fun and games, but trust me, it's not. Before we go on, like and subscribe, okay? Join me for my boring etiquette class today. To be honest, I've done this class a few times already. One, two, three, ugh!
Keep your back straight, Elizabeth, or that crown will fall.
I was born a princess, not to be a model.
Rules are rules, young lady. Behave.
Trying so hard and still disappointing Dad and the instructor? I'm so done with this. I wish I could turn into a seagull and just fly away. Whenever I ask Dad about the outside world, I always get the same reply.
It's dangerous out there. You're safe here.
The vast sea and its crashing waves, pure freedom. I've always loved reading sea adventures and dreamed of sailing.
This is not suitable for a princess. If you don't listen, I'll ban you from the royal library.
I've reached my boiling point. That's it. I decided to run away from this nonsense. That night, I planned my escape while everyone was asleep, but luck wasn't on my side. Caught right away. But I didn't give up. Over the next few days, I worked on another epic escape plan. Yep, I stole it from the storage room. Tonight, I'm ghosting out of here right under their noses. All right, it's go time. Gonna do this, then that. Darn, it's so heavy. I took a deep breath, prepping to sneak out. The hallway was clear, perfect as I planned out. But as I took a step, OMG, just my luck. I must have stole some old rusty armor from my great-grandpa's era. Whatever. I'd pick it up and just go. Slowly, super slowly. Oops. Then I heard footsteps. Gotta move before I get busted. Dad would ground me for life.
Hey, where's your post?
I...
The princess. You need to guard her room super tightly. Wait. Why are you so short? Are the royal guards recruiting hobbits now or what?
The king needs more guards. Get going now.
He ran off. Phew, that was close. I made it to the palace gates. I'd just say the princess ordered me out and I'm good. Easy game. I grabbed my bag and made a beeline for the harbor. No plan yet, but I'll figure it out. The harbor was bustling.
Oh no, the ship's about to leave. Gotta hurry! Oh!
My bad. Sorry.
It's cool. Just in a rush.
What?
I dashed to the ship, but when buying a ticket, I realized this wasn't my bag.
What the heck?
Oh, great. What now? Think. Suddenly, I saw some folks struggling with heavy chests. All right. Next plan would be... hide in here till the ship's about to dock, then make an exit. Perfect! But my joy was short-lived. The ship began shaking violently. Water rushed in. What's happening? OMG, it's sinking! The waves tossed me around. Help me!
Dad, someone's over there. We need to get closer.
As my strength faded, I felt myself being pulled out of the water. Everything blurred and I couldn't see my savior. Then everything went black. I slowly opened my eyes.
Mom! Dad! She's awake!
Pirates?
Hey! Who
are you all? Guard! Guard!
To their surprise, I figured maybe they weren't that bad, considering they did save me after all.
Hey there, I'm Axel.
Huh? What? I recognized him. He's the dude who took my bag, but claimed some other guy swiped it.
So where's my bag?
Clearly, it's somewhere at the bottom of the ocean with that chest. Guess we're square then. After donning some rad pirate clothes, I dashed to the bow to take in the beauty of the sea. But a massive wave rolled in and made me super queasy.
Hey, you good?
Nope, definitely not. My head's spinning and my stomach's churning. I think I'm gonna...
Oh no. Dad, seasickness alert!
I apologize.
We should turn the ship around and take the young lady back to land.
His words snapped me back to reality. Even though I was still busy, I knew why I left and wasn't about to head back. I'm fine. Let me stay. I can, clean and tutor Axel.
You can read and write?
Duh. The king himself taught me math.
What?
Look, 550 divided by 2 is 275, not 250, you dope.
Oh, snap. You're right.
Phew. Almost blew my cover there. The pile of rigid knowledge from my father helped me out. I can't let them know I'm royalty. Gotta keep this a secret. From then on, I stayed with Axel's family on their pirate ship. Sometimes, I wonder if my father's out looking for me. But whatever. Freedom's sweet here. Even if I can't stomach their canned meat, things are good. Axel taught me how to fish for the yummy grilled dish that magically filled my hungry stomach. Man, I thought I was gonna starve!
If my dad finds out I made a fire on the ship, he'd kill me!
Why's that?
What are you two up to?
Nothing, sir.
You two, put that fire out before it catches the fishing nets!
The moonlight reflected beautifully on the shimmering waters.
Come here, I'll teach you how to steer.
Really? I'm not sure I can.
No worries. Been doing this since I was 5.
I'll give it a shot. The moment I grabbed the wheel, it felt like I had the entire ocean in my grasp. I'd never forget this moment. I gotta go to sleep. See you tomorrow, I said, running off, leaving a confused Axel behind, trying to hide my tomato red face. Next morning, I spotted Axel and his dad lugging a finely crafted chest. It looked a lot like the royal ones. Did you get these from the royal ship?
Yep, but Dad says it's not stealing in the bad sense.
Stealing is wrong! Can't believe you guys do this!
Chill, Elizabeth. Let me show you.
I was mad until we docked at a small island. The islanders rushed to greet us. Turned out, Axel's family redistributed stolen goods from the corrupt royals to the needy islanders. Thank you, miss. We're so grateful! Dad always taught me to care for our people, and here I was doing it, but differently. Suddenly, there was commotion, and the sound of galloping horses got closer.
Run, Elizabeth! Royal guards!
In the chaos, I lost grip of Axel's hand. Axel, where are you? Just then, a royal guard planted his spear right before me.
Seize them all, filthy thieves!
I command you to stop!
Yo, you sly dogs! Took me a hell of a time to trap you all.
Both me and Axel's fam were caught and taken to the palace. As we stepped in, everyone recognized me as the princess. Axel's fam was shook. Axel? Dude was so stunned he couldn't even speak. The king was stoked, but against what I expected. He ordered Axel's entire family to be jailed.
These people kidnapped the princess and committed royal theft. Lock them up till their trial.
What? No, it wasn't like that. Despite my pleas, Dad just wouldn't hear me out. I knew he had been itching to nab these pirates for a while, and the princess kidnapping thing was just an excuse to stack charges. All I could do was visit and feed Axel's family daily. I felt guilty. Was it my fault they got nabbed? I sent up a prayer to the vast sea, begging for a sign to help him out. Please! Then I heard this crazy noise. It wasn't from the palace, but from the far horizon. I squinted, seeing dark specks appearing in the sky, growing bigger and bigger. Oh my god! A swarm of seagulls was flying in! This was weird. They were flying against the current. Meanwhile, in the cells, Axel's family sensed the odd vibes too. When he saw me, he jumped up, face all panicky.
The tide's receding super fast, right, Elizabeth? See those bubbles on the water surface? Like it's boiling or something.
After my firm nod and the weird seagull behavior, Axel's dad's face felt terror.
I smell this foul stench, and it's getting hotter.
What's happening? Tell me!
I've heard of a devastating tsunami from thousands of years ago. Wiped out an entire country. The ocean's warning us. We need to act fast!
I quickly informed my dad, but he brushed it off thinking the pirates were spinning tails. That night, we roared like crazy. I sneaked into the Royal Library to find that ancient book. Found it! The historic records of the tsunami. I hurriedly showed it to my father. His hands trembled and his eyes widened in horror.
We'll be safe if we stay put. Outside, it's dangerous.
No, we're doomed if we just stay here. Without waiting for my dad, I dashed out, alerting everyone of the looming disaster. Axel's family was released to help evacuate the citizens.
Everyone, follow me!
Luckily, Axel's family could read the winds, leading us to higher ground. Massive waves crashed just as we reached safety. Mother Nature was furious, tearing apart homes, even the sturdy palace gates. The king approached Axel's family, bowing in gratitude.
On behalf of our nation, I thank you all.
Then he turned to me.
My daughter, I'm proud of how you protected our people.
He decided to reward Axel with a royal commander position, but he turned it down.
You know, I just want to be free with the sea.
I looked at Axel, his face glowing in the sunset's embrace. I'll strive to be a good princess, looking out for my people.
We'll cross paths, someday, for sure.
I pinky swore to Axel before he and his fam boarded their ship, ready to sail. The king entrusted them with supplies for distant islanders. Y'all looking forward to our reunion? As for me, I know that no matter the distance, Axel's always there, in my heart.
As usual, I was doing my part-time job at Mr. Ken's laundry shop when out of nowhere, a bag hit me on the head, and I was in so much pain.
Where's the manager? I need to see the manager right now!
Ma'am? Excuse me?
It was you, wasn't it? You liked my designer bag so much that you swapped it for a fake one to sell and make money, didn't you?
What the fudge was she even talking about? Sure, I might be poor, but I'd never do something like that. How would I even know how much her bag was worth? But she didn't listen to any explanations and started hitting me.
Hey, lady! Just wait until I'm rich! I'll buy 10 of your fancy bags and throw them at your head just like you did to me! Oh, you dare?
Just as she was about to grab my hair... Whew, thank goodness. It was just a dream. I wasn't poor anymore. I wasn't suffering anymore. I opened my eyes and saw my billionaire dad standing right in front of me. He handed me a black credit card.
Sweetheart, if you like any bag, just let me know. I want to make it up to you for everything.
It was hard to know what was real anymore. You'd think he was my real dad, right? Actually, I didn't even know myself. Hi there, I'm Allison. Many people wondered if I was rich or poor, so here's the answer. I was actually an orphan from a small convent in Southern California. The only thing I remembered about my dad was his cold back as he walked away from my mom and me. Heartbroken, my mom passed away from a severe illness afterward. I hated my dad and never wanted to see him again. Since I was little, I'd always been self-conscious about my family situation. I didn't want to endure people's pitying looks, so I tried hard to earn money and change my life. That's why I didn't have much time to make friends. But thankfully, I had Elmira. She'd been close to me since we were in the orphanage. Elmira's situation was almost 90% like mine. She hated her dad, too. I thought he must be a terrible person to abandon a sweet girl like Elmira. Until one day, as we were leaving the church with the priestess, I saw Elmira standing far away, looking worried. A wealthy man was talking to the nuns. He was dressed in an expensive suit and wore a shiny watch. Elmira, who's that guy?
Jeez, you scared me.
Then she told me everything. What the waffles? He's your real dad?
Yes, but I need you to do me a favor. You have to promise to keep this a secret.
You want me to pretend to be you and accept him as your father? What kind of crazy idea was this? I knew she hated her dad, but that didn't mean I had the right to enjoy a luxurious life with her billionaire dad, right? Of course I refused immediately, but Elmira begged me for days.
Please, Addison? If you don't agree to help me, I'll...
Fine, you're so annoying. But remember, it's just for 3 months, then you have to tell him the truth.
Seeing my exasperated face, Elmira looked really happy. What was she so excited about? And so, a few days later, I met Elmira's dad to prepare to leave the convent. As soon as we met, he hugged me tightly. There was such happiness in his eyes. I thought Mr. James must have missed Elmira so much. Then I said goodbye to everyone and Elmira. She was tearful and emotional, probably because she missed her dad too, but still couldn't accept him. So I decided to see what Mr. James was really like. And so I moved into Mr. James's 3,713 square foot mansion and started living there. In the first few weeks, I was still getting used to everything. But Dad James always treated me well. He always gave me the best of everything. He bought me nice clothes and even gave me one of his yachts. Dad James let me live a dream life, so I didn't have to go back to the haunting poverty of my previous life. I was always polite and well-behaved, which made Dad very pleased. Until one day, Dad decided to enroll me in a school for the elite. Everyone there was wealthy and impressive. They made me feel a bit self-conscious.
Hello, class. This is Allison, the daughter of a billionaire in the tech industry. Please welcome her.
To celebrate Allison joining the class, I'll cover all the costs for the upcoming field trip.
Hearing that, the whole class rushed to hug me. Everyone was so warm and welcoming. I had never received so much attention before. The life of a billionaire's daughter was amazing, and I wished I was really Mr. James's daughter. From that day, friends surrounded me, especially Diana, the beautiful blonde girl, the most stunning in the school. Hanging out with her, I had a higher status at school. Finally, the day the class trip arrived, and as the sponsor, I received the most attentive care. Come on, Allison, let's play golf. Oh my gosh, I didn't know how to play this fancy sport, but everyone was watching, waiting to see my performance.
Go on, Allison!
I closed my eyes and swung hard. Where did the ball go? Then I heard everyone laughing. I opened my eyes to see my ball had hit the bottom of a golf ball collector. Holy guacamole, how embarrassing! I'm so sorry, are you okay? Oh, Allison, is that you? Elmira, how could she be here? You look so different. So how's it going with the favor I asked you?
Allison, do you know that ball collector girl?
What should I do now? What if they found out who I really was? I didn't want to lose Diana and my new friends at school. What should I do? While I was panicking, unsure how to handle the situation, Diana called Elmira over.
Hey, ball collector, come here!
Oh, goodness gracious, please no. Elmira, I'm begging you. Give me some time.
What's wrong? I just told her to clean my shoes.
Oh, no, nothing. Watching Elmira kneel to clean Diana's shoes made me feel incredibly guilty. The gap between the rich and the poor was so stark. What if they found out I was really the orphan child?
Do you even know how to clean? Get your dirty hands off my shoes. You useless poor thing. Hurry and get me a new pair of shoes.
No way. I wasn't poor. I wasn't. After calming down when Elmira finished cleaning Diana's shoes, I saw Diana smirk and hand the manager a $100 bill. What was she planning now? Elmira tried to greet and talk to me, but I quickly ignored her and dragged Diana away. Elmira, forgive me. I couldn't bear the judgmental looks from the rich. I promised myself I'd explain everything to her after my 3 months with Mr. James were over.
Come on, I have a big surprise for you. Hurry up!
What could she have planned for me that made her so excited? My friends led me to a large box. What was inside that kept moving? I had a bad feeling.
Allison, are you ready for your gift? Here it comes! 3, 2, 1, surprise!
Oh my gosh, the box opened to reveal Elmira sitting in a pile of birthday cakes.
What's so surprising? Didn't you aim the golf ball at her to signal us to give you a birthday present?
No, I didn't mean that. It was a misunderstanding. But Elmira didn't let me explain. She was furious and took out all her anger on me.
So you're ashamed of being friends with me, and you plan for them to bully me. If everyone knew, you're not even.
Elmira, please, don't say it. Not Mr. James's daughter. Oh my goodness. Elmira couldn't swim, so I quickly jumped in to save her. But the worst had happened. Elmira had passed out right after. At that moment, I was terrified. I feared something terrible had happened to her. But that wasn't the worst thing I heard. Right after returning from the hospital, Diana was waiting for me.
Look what the fake billionaire's daughter just did.
You heard it?
What will your billionaire dad say when he finds out about this?
What Diana said left me completely shocked. If Mr. James found out everything, he would never forgive me. I was terrified of facing his disappointed look. Somehow, I ended up agreeing to all of Diana's conditions. She asked me to slip a land use agreement into the stack of bills for my dad to sign.
Don't worry. This agreement benefits both our families. You just need to get your dad to sign it.
I had no other choice, so I brought the papers to my dad for a signature just as Diana wanted. Dad, can you sign this credit card bill for me, please?
Done. Just leave it here. You must be tired from being out all day.
Dad cared so much about me, and here I was deceiving him. All I wanted was for Elmira to wake up soon. Then I would return everything to her. But a few weeks later, the news spread. The agreement my dad signed required him to transfer almost all land use rights, and that land was meant to support our orphanage. She tricked me. Seeing Dad helplessly sitting in the room all night broke my heart. The next day, I immediately went to confront Diana. How could you do this? Didn't you consider me a friend?
Ridiculous. Ever since you stopped being a billionaire's daughter, no one in this class considered you a friend. Thanks, though. My dad and I will make good use of that land.
I couldn't forgive myself. I treated my best friend terribly, only to realize I never had a true friend in Diana. She had been using me all along. I pushed her hand away and decided to embrace my true self. I'm going to tell my dad the whole truth and take responsibility for this mess. And you will pay for everything you've done. The next day, Dad held a press conference to clarify everything. Before he could apologize to the public, I stepped onto the stage and grabbed the mic. Mr. James, I'm sorry to reveal this truth. Elmira is your real daughter. I was the one who tricked you into signing the land transfer agreement. Before I could finish, Mr. James hugged me tightly to the astonishment of everyone there.
Allison, I've been wanting to tell you this truth too.
The truth revealed after that left me in shock. No one else but me was actually Mr. James's real daughter. Hearing I wouldn't return to him because he left me, Elmira came up with a plan to lie to me so I could stay and gradually accept my biological dad. Elmira's outburst at the pool was because she was so hurt for trusting a terrible friend like me. Facing the truth, I collapsed, unable to believe my eyes.
Don't worry. When you handed me that paper, I noticed something and investigated. The signature on it isn't mine. I switched the form and sent it to the authorities for investigation.
The entire day, I clung to Dad, crying, deeply regretting what I did to Elmira. Soon after, Diana and her dad were summoned for investigation. They had to pay for their evil scheme. In the following days, I frequently visited Elmira in the hospital. I voluntarily worked part-time to pay for her medical bills without my dad's help. In Dad's name, I set up a fund for orphaned children and named it after Elmira. Not a day went by without me praying for her health to improve. Thankfully, the doctor said her condition was improving and she would wake up soon. What should I do for her? Should I ask Dad to adopt Elmira? I truly wouldn't let this beautiful friendship slip away again.
Rumors say Zane Harris is secretly dating. I wouldn't chase this story if my boss wasn't so adamant about snagging an exclusive on him.
Consider this a test for your team lead position. Leave that tech company data theft story for later.
Everyone knows he's the hottest singer around, but getting information on this tight-lipped guy is a mission. But an article on him? Click gold. It's actually worth the gamble. But how to approach with his giant bodyguards everywhere? Once, I posed as a superfan for a pic with him. Zane was cool. But in a flash, his guards had me tossed aside before the camera could focus. Oh, a gorgeous girl approaches him. Camera ready for Zane spotted with beauty at cafe. But turns out, she's his assistant handing over documents. Bingo! Becoming his assistant is my golden ticket. Genius, felon! First, I gotta oust the current girl. Had a journalist pal to meet her, snap pics, and sent them to Zane's manager. You can imagine his fury seeing her with the press. Sorry, girl. I got work to do. Then, I whipped up fake resumes saying I've been an assistant to various celebs. And boom, I landed an interview. Trying to stay cool, but internally, I'm freaking out.
If Zane is late for a crucial photo shoot and no ride, what do you do?
Grab a taxi?
Too risky. Fans will block every exit.
Oh, I got it. Toss him in a dumpster and wheel him there.
Bold. But it works. Taylor Swift did it once. Next, Zane has packed schedules. If he's exhausted and won't pick up, what do you do?
No worries. Been a black belt in karate since 15. I try to keep myself smiling while the manager looked scared. Then Zane, leaning against the door, popped up.
Interesting girl. Can you start tomorrow?
Looking up, Zane glowed like an angel. No wonder he's a youth sensation. Just like that, I became Zane's assistant, stunning the manager. I won't use karate on him. Promise. On day one, Zane's workload was insane. An interview with Vogue at 9, two photo shoot sessions in the afternoon, and a commercial shoot at night. Jesus, he must be a robot. And I, his assistant, gotta be three robots. Now, understanding the hefty paycheck, I had earlier thought of quitting journalism. Phew. But wait, when does he even have time to date? Maybe rumors are just that. While I was sorting contracts, a top secret document piqued my curiosity. Journalist instincts kicked in.
Don't touch that. Hand it over.
I'm sorry, I just...
It's a big contract I'm considering. Don't worry about it.
Zane didn't want me snooping, so I backed off. After the second photo shoot, we headed somewhere unknown to me.
I visit here monthly. The press doesn't know.
Bingo! I am the press! Congrats, boss. We hit gold. Turns out, it was an orphanage. Kids rushed to greet Zane, apparently a familiar face.
Who's the best kid this week?
It was the first time I saw him genuinely happy. Zane grew up there and has been supporting it since hitting it big. What a warm-hearted guy. We returned, finishing the night's work. After we entered the elevator, the lights flickered off and it stopped. Help! Looking at my reaction, Zane saw my distress.
Fallon, you have claustrophobia?
Yeah, I might have a heart attack.
What do I do?
Could you sing Justin Bieber?
Which song?
Anything, please.
Okay.
Suddenly, Zane hugged me.
It's the most beautiful time of the year. Lights fill the streets, spreading so much cheer. I should be playing in the winter snow, but I'ma be under the mistletoe.
A famous singer serenading me. Seeing Zane's worried face and awkward expression, I laughed. Thank you. That night, I pondered whether to write about Zane and the orphanage, but exposure would keep him away and likely cost me the job before achieving my initial goal. This is trickier than I thought. When I woke up and rubbed my eyes to check the clock, 10 a.m. Damn, late for the editorial office. Wait, I'm supposed to be writing, but I'm also Zane's assistant. Frantically calling to apologize, Zane was chill.
It's all good. Got personal stuff today.
Phew. Maybe being a celeb assistant isn't that hard. But hold up. His schedule was jam-packed all week. Bingo! Private matters? That's tabloid gold. I zoomed just as Zane got in his car. No bodyguards. Totally odd. He must be on a stealth date. Jumping in a taxi, I stealthily followed. He walked into an alley. Camera ready. What? Is he dating a thug? This scoop might break a million hearts, but what unfolded next was jaw-dropping. It was the document from yesterday.
Here's all you need.
Easy money. Celebs have the best connections.
I've seen that young man somewhere before. That's right. So Zane is the one assisting those data traffickers who have been trading confidential data from the tech company that's recently been in the news. Unbelievable! As I was standing there, agape at the sight before me, a hand grabbed my collar and pushed me outside.
Looky here. Caught a little mouse.
What now? Wow, lovely weather. Thought I'd walk my dog. Where's my dog?
Cut the crap, Giorno.
He showed me my personal info on his phone screen.
You've been tailing us, huh?
Why, Fallon? You posed as my assistant to dig up dirt? Lied and spied on me? What's your next headline? Famous singer Zane Harris in cahoots with criminals?
Hold on, I just...
Should've kept a closer eye on you.
Hey, not the place for a lover's spat!
When I give the signal, run.
What?
I'll see you in court!
These nuts are crazy!
Run!
Zane grabbed my hand and we dashed out of the alley with the goons chasing, but failing to catch up. On the way back, I didn't know how to break the silence with Zane. I had a million questions, and I was sure he did too.
I...
Okay, I'll go first. I'm sorry for lying to you.
Look, I'd love to settle the score with you, but I need your help right now. Once this is done, we're square.
Turns out, Zane was being blackmailed by these hackers, threatening to wreck his reputation unless he handed over some information.
They even threatened kids! Scumbags!
The documents contain personal info about major corporate partners, billionaires, CEOs, and some shady folks. So, what do you need from me?
Write an expose on them. And me. Meanwhile, I'll get the kids to safety.
But you'll take the fall since you handed them the docs.
I'll take the responsibility.
I have a better idea. Yeah, retrieving the docs before involving the cops. Sounds crazy, but thrilling. Found their hideout through emails they sent Zane. Tracing the IP address was tricky, but nothing I can't handle. In half an hour, I located their server in a lab on the city outskirts. Go me!
Who are you exactly?
A journalist, a hacker, or an assistant saving her boss. Take your pick. We reached the located area. I instructed Zane to stay put while I scouted. As I snuck in, two baldies noticed me. First lesson in journalism school, learn martial arts. When I was preparing to strike, another guy tackled me from behind. Then, a window shattered and Zane jumped in. I told you to wait outside.
Then who'd save your butt?
We threw punches and kicks, taking them down one by one. Zane and I were quite the team. I didn't know Zane could fight. He seemed even hotter than when he's performing. After dealing with the goons, we ran up the spiral staircase. Almost 10 floors. Gosh, last time I ran like this was when I was late to the editorial office. Finally, we stopped in front of a massive steel door.
Stand back. I'll break it down.
Before I could react, Zane charged. But it was a metal door, so he bounced back. Hold up, there's an easier way. I spotted a fire extinguisher and used it to smash the lock. The door flew open, revealing a terrifying sight inside. Rows of computers connected to a gigantic floating screen were conducting data transactions worldwide. The boss walked in as we were still absorbing the scene.
Welcome to the greatest info trade show ever.
Zane burst into laughter, confusing both the boss and me.
3, 2, 1.
Screen displayed error messages and transactions failed.
Why?
The chip I gave you was a missing piece.
Damn it.
As the boss lunged at Zane, I jumped on him, pinning him to the floor. Missing a piece? Didn't you just pull the plug?
Enjoy your prison food.
Look! I screamed as all computers rebooted. Data transferred resumed. 97, 98, 99. Seriously? But then the computer short-circuited. Lights flickered. Is it...
Get out! The building's gonna blow!
What? 10 floors? In that moment, Zane grabbed my hand and we jumped out of the window. I thought my exit would be more glamorous. Huh? While Zane cursed the guy who replugged the system, activating the self-destruct, I silently watched the ashes. Finally, it's over.
Not over yet. I can still sue you for forgery.
But I helped you!
Well, barely. Not enough to call it even.
Days later, I published the truth about the tech company data theft.
I told you to write about Zane Harris!
Here! What else should I investigate about him?
Rumors about him dating! What else?
Dating? How should I write this? Hello, I'm Aiko. And while I hail from Japan, I'm not ethically Japanese. 12 years ago, I got separated from my parents during a shipwreck. And thereafter, I was adopted by Sensei Hiroshi. He's a wise and highly skilled ninja who has long lived in seclusion. Although I've always hoped to find my parents again, I have zero memories of them. There's absolutely no news about the shipwreck from 12 years ago. It's as if it vanished into thin air. The only thing that connects me to them is this necklace. Yeah. I know it doesn't exactly look like jewelry. Growing up, I became taller than the other kids, becoming their jokes.
Look at her. She's so odd.
She's not Sensei Hiroshi's daughter. Who are her real parents? Was she abandoned? Their words hurt, but luckily, my adoptive father has always been there for me.
They say I'm different and not belonging here, Dad.
Prove them wrong with your skills, love. You make me proud.
And so, despite their whispers behind my back, by the age of 17, I had become a ninja with superior skills, winning many battles. Until one day, an event unfolded that would forever change my life. While I was on the street, awkwardly counting the pile of stuff I just bought for dinner, someone bumped into me, causing everything in my hands to fall. Hey, watch it! But he kept running. Thief, help me! A thief, huh? Well, today isn't his lucky day. I flung my shuriken towards him, then leapt and pinned him down. Come on, that's not nice. After the police took him away, I gathered my stuff and headed back. But weirdly, my intuition was telling me something was off. Someone was following me. As I slowed down, so did he. When I sped up, his steps hastened. I turned into an alley, stealthily observing the man frantically searching for me. Who are you? Interpol? But why?
Haven't you ever wondered about your real identity? We're investigating the shipwreck 12 years ago. It wasn't an accident, Aiko.
What do you want?
You were so lucky that you survived that shipwreck. But have you ever wondered how it was to your parents?
What do you want?
Join Interpol, complete the mission, and you'll be reunited with your parents.
This guy, he's nuts. Everyone around here knows I'm not Japanese and knows I survived that shipwreck. You don't need to act all ominous. Actually, this isn't the first time someone's approached me wanting me to join them. There were others before, just scammers. This time won't be different. When I returned home, a black car was just leaving. The car glided past, and the man looked straight at me. It's him again! Things are getting complicated. What's going on, Dad?
It wasn't an accident, Aiko. Interpol. They wanted to reopen the investigation.
I knew what he was talking about. So it's true. This is real. Then, I told Dad everything about the man from earlier.
Do what you think is best, my child.
But how can I leave you, Dad? How do I investigate the outside world? Who are my real parents? I don't even know their names.
Now you're a skilled ninja. What's there to worry about? You should contact him. He's the only one who can help you find your parents.
What if they died in that shipwreck? But what if they're alive and have been looking for me all these 12 years? Sweetie, hold mommy's hand tight. You're the bravest girl. No, my daughter! My daughter! Mom! Right, he knows them. I must find him, at all costs. I searched for my bag, only to realize then I had thrown it away. Oh no! I ran through the streets at midnight, hoping to find that piece of paper. I caught the thief here, then I met the man here. I meticulously searched every inch of the street, thinking the wind would have carried it far, and eventually, luck smiled at me. There you are, you elusive little thing! Finally, I found you! Mr. Johnson! I picked up my phone and dialed his number without hesitation.
It's a bit late, Aiko.
A week later, I found myself in the States, at the address Johnson tossed my way.
Welcome to the USA, or should I say, back. Now get down from that tree.
Just testing the waters with the guy. He passed!
Let's see. Now your name's Elena. Agent Elena.
Agent Elena? Has a nice all-American ring to it, doesn't it? But deep down, I'd rather ninja. My mission is to retrieve a tape held by a billionaire's son, also a survivor of that fateful ship. What's on the tape?
Top secret. But know this. Succeed, and you'll meet your parents.
Enter Baron, the gatekeeper to the truth. Not bad looking either. Post-mission, I might ask him out. Focus, Aiko! Best way in? Be his bodyguard.
What's up?
Dump your bodyguards. I alone got you covered. Hire me.
Give me one reason.
Skilled fighter and, broke. I can protect you.
Cocky much? This guy's from South Africa. And this one's a top-tier pound-for-pound fighter for years. You think you can take them?
Let's find out. It was basically a job interview. Fast forward, the South African guy was down, and the American powerhouse was flat. Baron seemed impressed, so I got the gig.
Phew!
I mean, Elena, Sir Baron. Homeward bound?
No, I'm hungry.
Great, the rich kid wants pizza from his favorite spot. Are all rich folks this whimsical?
We'll right!
Whoa! At home, we drive on the left. Honestly, never drove before. Could teach him tree hopping ninja style if he's up for it.
Watch the road! Signs are on the right! On the right!
Need to find that tape and bounce. It's Johnson!
Update, Psycho. Where are you?
At a pizzeria.
Be careful. Others are after the tape too.
Looking around, I noticed some shady figures. Game's getting tough. Bring it! That night, while Baron showered, I sneaked into his room, searching. Where's the tape? Phone? Nope. Computer? Nah. Where could it be? Wait, the singing stopped. Water's off. Turning around, I found Baron standing there, draped in a towel. Oh Lord, those muscles.
What's happening? Why did you become my bodyguard?
No. Saw mouse. Just searching.
What?
Mouse? Help!
He jumped on me shaking. Gosh, you're heavy. Sit tight. I got this. Over the next weeks, Baron and I grew closer, which made sense since I'm his bodyguard. But as we hung out more and I was allowed to dress casually, the gap seemed to shorten. He's kinda cute, but mission's always on my mind. Searched when Baron wasn't around. No luck. Does he carry it? I told Johnson, and his new directive made me ponder.
Then you gotta abduct Baron. I'll have people handle it. Bring him to the rendezvous. Counting on you, Aiko.
But why? Why not straightforwardly ask Baron? Why so sneaky? Is it related to my parents? Next day, driving Baron to a deserted road, I pretended to step out to buy water. Saw two men in black taking him. All right, waiting's my game now. Hours ticked, no news. I called Johnson.
He had nothing, damn it. Aiko, head back and await further instructions.
Before I hung up, I heard, give him one last chance. What's he gonna do to Baron? Was it all about the tape? If anything happens to him, it's on me. Suddenly, a swarm of cop cars zoomed by. Unsure of the happenings, but I followed. Police secretly surrounded an abandoned building. I used the car Johnson gave me to approach. Never thought it'd be handy.
You're from Interpol? Haven't seen you before.
What's going on?
We track Baron and he's inside, kidnapped. Boss is there too, planning entry without alerting them.
Wait, wasn't kidnapping Baron an Interpol directive? Johnson, what have you done? I've walked into a trap! After secretly scoping the joint and counting heads, I decided to fly solo on this one. Only I could pull this off.
Hey, Elena! It's dangerous!
Ignoring the naysayers, I vaulted the fence, sneaking in. Ninja skills, activate! Quickly, the outside guards were down. Peeking in the last room, Baron's tied up.
Where's the tape?
How should I know? Probably at the bottom of the ocean.
Lies! Your family was on the first lifeboat!
Then there's a crash and Baron's scream! Stop, Johnson! Who are you really? I rushed to Baron, helping him up.
That's it! How'd you get it?
What? What are you talking about? Before I could react, Johnson snatched my necklace.
never expected this. So you had it all along.
What is it?
A deal's a deal. Since you found it for me, meet your parents as promised.
Don't tell me.
I know where your parents are. Somewhere under the Pacific.
He lunged at me, but truth hurt more than any blow. Frozen, I didn't dodge his impending attack.
Your parents aren't dead!
Baron's shout snapped me back. I dodged Johnson's blow.
Don't let him have it! Hurry!
All right, Father Hiroshi, lend me the strength of a true ninja! I picked up a piece of wood, leaping into the air. He will pay for his crimes. Father Hiroshi didn't teach me to use power to harm. He scurried off immediately. But escape? Not a chance. Baron and I were taken to the hospital, though fully conscious. Turns out, Johnson, a high-ranking Interpol official, led a weapon smuggling ring. My necklace was a USB containing a video of him ordering the ship sinking to destroy evidence. You said you knew about my parents. Are they alive?
You'll see.
As he finished, the door swung open. In came his parents. Oh, my boy!
You gotta keep loving me like this, okay?
What happened?
I found her.
Both parents turned to me, as did I to him. At that moment, I was speechless. I imagined I'd cry when meeting my parents. Why is it like this? I wanted to hug them, but felt empty. Do I have feelings for Baron? Like a sister to a brother? Without a word, I bolted. I wanted to return to Japan right now. Father Hiroshi welcomed me with open arms, and I burst into tears.
It's okay, my child. It's over.
I slipped back into my old life. A week post-incident, a familiar figure appeared.
I knew it'd be hard to accept everything immediately. I thought you'd need time. 12 years ago, my parents worked with Johnson in Interpol and first saw his true face. I was the one who put the USB necklace on you when chaos erupted.
So he used my quest to find my parents to get that video before Interpol? What a jerk!
Only you and I got on the lifeboat. You got lost. My parents weren't as lucky. Then I was adopted.
You're not my real brother? That's great then. Once my emotions settled, my parents came. When I hugged them, it felt like the missing 12 years never happened. I decided to move back to the States with them, always remembering the loving father I left in Japan.